you are able. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I can't help but be a little excited today. As I've already said, the messages I've preached here of late, some have been kind of heavy. I'm kind of excited about this morning, excited to preach about the gospel. Amen? The gospel of God, it is the power of God. Do you want the power of God in your life? Seriously, do you want the power of God in your life? Guess where it's found? It's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. You know, today is, or tomorrow is Memorial Day. We're about to celebrate Memorial. It's good to have memorials, good memorials in your life anyways. There are some memorials that maybe we wouldn't want to remember, but like James, Brother James, he's got a memorial. He just graduated high school. That's a huge spot in someone's life. To end something, to start something new, that's the memorial. That's a place where you'll always look back to. But I am so thankful for the memorial that I have from September 28th, 1998, the day that I got saved, the day that the power of the gospel overwhelmed me. Amen? What a great memorial to have as a child of God, that day when the Holy Spirit took up residence in my heart, that day when I rested and relied on Jesus Christ to be my Savior. We've got some things to learn. There's here at the end of verse 16, it says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm going to take a little liberty today. That last sentence there where it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek, we're going to change those today. And I know there are those, well, Pastor, you can't change God's word. I'm not going to change God's word, okay? Y'all just go ahead and let me preach and sit down and relax for a second as I talk about this, to the Jew first and to the Greek. We're going to change that to the saved first, and also to the lost. We both have the opportunity today to go home with the power of God on our life. So I have a question for you who are saved and also for you who are lost without Christ. Do you want the power of God today? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you this morning, Lord. Lord, I need you, Lord, just to help me, Lord, to relay what it is that you've laid on my heart. God, I pray, God, that your word would do something today, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, that is lost and dying and going to hell, God, I pray, Lord, that they'd not leave here in that condition today, Lord. I pray, God, that they would see Jesus Christ exalted. Lord, you say if you'll be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you, God. So, Lord, help me to lift you up today, Lord. Lord, as we look to your word, I pray, God, that Jesus Christ truly would be lifted up and exalted, Lord, and that folks would just see you for who you are, Lord. And, Lord, I know, Lord, that if they'll see you for who you are, then they'll see themselves for what they are. And God, then things just happen like they're supposed to. Why? Well, because your word, Lord, your word is powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would use it today, Lord, to speak to hearts. I pray, God, that the devil, his minions, Lord, would have no presence here, Lord. No place to stay, God, because your glory, Lord, your spirit fills it. And Lord, that they'd not be able to hinder anything that you want done today, God. Lord, I ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Again, I ask, do you want the power of God today? The gospel, and I got 2 points. Just 2 points. All right? The gospel is one of two things. It's either something to be proud of if you're saved, or something to be part of if you're lost. Those are my 2 points. It's something to be proud of if you're saved. Amen? If you are a child of God, you should be proud of that. And by proud of that, I mean, hey, folks should know about it. Amen? There should be no question in your friends and your families and those around you that you work with. There should be no question in their hearts or their minds as if someone that is saved is saved. They should know it. Why? Because it's something you should be proud of. And there's some things I think that we should be proud of if we're saved. The verse here says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. That means I have no shame. I'm unashamed of recognizing you're a sinner. See, if you're proud that you're saved, then you are unashamed of recognizing you're a sinner. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at some Bibles. Keep your Bibles handy today. We're going to look at some passages to just kind of just look at this gospel thing and look at what it does for us and where the power comes from. So if you would, Luke chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 19. And Jesus saith unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. And am I in the right place? No, I'm not. Verse 9. I knew I was in the wrong place there. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his head, as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You ought to be unashamed of recognizing you're a sinner. And don't get me wrong now, we ought not be bragging about our past lives. Amen? Listen, we ought not be bragging about what it is that God has saved us from. We ought not be bragging about the things that we used to be involved in. Sin not ought not be a boasting point in our life. Yeah, you know, I used to really tear it up when I was young before I got right with God. No, listen, that ought not be. Listen, your sin was separating you from a holy, holy God. Your sin was sending you to an eternal damnation for the devil's hell, and that's what your sin was doing. It was not something that you should be bragging about. But now listen, don't get me wrong. You ought to be able to recognize that you're a sinner. You ought to be unashamed of that recognition. I like that story here. We've got two folks here. We've got a Pharisee, and we know that the Pharisees are the self-righteous crowd, those that look to themselves to make sure that they're following the law, to look to themselves to make sure that they dress right, to look to themselves to make sure they're doing. You heard him. He said, I give tithes of all that I have, and I do this and I do that. And well, what'd God say? Well, God, Jesus liked what this other guy had to say. He stood there and he said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And listen, we ought never go before the presence of God. And that's what prayer is, amen? Amen? We ought never go before the presence of God without begging His forgiveness for our sins. You ought to be unashamed of recognizing your sinner because Jesus Christ died for those sins. Amen? And we ought to be unashamed. Listen, there should never be a time when you're bowing your head to pray where you don't say, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Well, I didn't sin since the last time I prayed. You just did. Okay? You just did. We ought to be unashamed of recognizing that we're a sinner. We ought to be unashamed of realizing Christ loves you. Go to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. Unashamed of realizing that Christ loves you. Romans chapter 5, we'll read from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. It takes unashamedness. It takes a little bit of pride in what God has done for some rejoicing to happen. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Listen, you ought to be unashamed in realizing that Christ loves you. And you realize who it is that he loves, right? He loves the sinner. Jesus Christ says, that man, the one that beat on his chest, the one that said, be merciful to me, a sinner, the one who in his humility couldn't even lift up his head to look to heaven, God said, that man is going to be justified. That's who God loves. God loves sinners. I'm so glad God loves sinners. Doesn't that excite you just a little bit? Because if you know who you are, you know you're a sinner. And it should excite you that the God of heaven, the creator of all things, the one who spoke things into existence, loves me. Listen, that ought to be something you're not just not ashamed of, but proud of. It ought to be something. Listen, hey, can I tell you something? God, Jesus Christ loves me. Did you know that? He loves me, and he loves you. He knows who you are. I know who you are. I struggle to love you, but he doesn't. He loves you. It's something we should be proud of. It's something we should have no problem telling folks, hey, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to... I quit clapping because I have no rhythm. I started to mess it up. I can't do two things at once. I struggle with that. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. He loves me. There's nothing I can do to change that. You know, sometimes we might feel like God's not for us. But see, that's not true. He loves me. He is for me. He wants to do for me. He wants to bless me. He wants to be a part of my life. He wants to be a part of my life more than I can even imagine. Why? Because he loves me. We should be unashamed that Jesus loves us. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let him snore. He ain't bothering me. He needs to know Jesus loves him. Jesus loves you. Brother Mark, Jesus loves you. Miss Judy, Jesus loves you. He even loves that husband of yours. Jesus loves you. We ought to be unashamed of that. The fact that God loves old sinners. I'm so thankful God loves old sinners. We ought to be unashamed of relying on Christ's death. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed from the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Listen, you ought to be unashamed in relying on the death of someone else for your benefit. Jesus Christ died for my sins. He's the propitiation. I deserved it. I deserved it. My sins have condemned me not only to death, for the wages of sin is death. Not only to death, but my sins have condemned me to an eternal damnation. But because Jesus loves me, because he cares for me, I can rely on what he did for me. He died on the cross. He took my place. He took my place. And I know there are those that can think, well, you know, if folks just think you're kind of weird when you talk about the fact that you're relying on somebody else to die so you can live. Okay, but my Bible tells me that the gospel maketh that we're not ashamed. That we're not ashamed. That we can tell folks, you know what? It may sound weird, but it works. It's the only thing that does. We ought to not be ashamed of relying on Christ's death. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ died for me. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ died for me. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ died for you. I am. You know why? Because I don't want you to die and go to hell. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I don't want you to take the death upon yourself, nor does he. That's why he died for you, so that you wouldn't have to take the death upon yourself. We ought to not be ashamed in relying on the death of Jesus Christ. We ought to be unashamed of regarding Christ's blood. 1 John chapter 1, if you would. 1 John chapter 1. 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of them and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the blood that cleanses. And listen, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm glad that we don't have to meet once a week and I got to slit some lamb's throat and go do what the priests used to have to do. I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm glad. The Bible says without blood there's no remission of sins. And I'm so glad, though, that I can tell folks about the blood of Jesus Christ. That's just kind of weird, Pastor, telling folks about, someone's blood cleaning us from our sins. Yeah, it may be weird, but it's the way. It's the way. It's the power. It's the power. That blood, that staining agent, listen, I've got a mother-in-law that can get any stain out of any object of clothing that you have. I have a green shirt that has a white spot in it where it used to once have blood in it. She got the blood out. Now, it is white, and I like that. It's a good illustration. You know why? Because that blood cleanses and makes us white as snow. Amen? We ought to regard the blood of Christ. And what does that mean? It ought to be something high in our lives, the blood of Jesus Christ. He loved me so much that he died for me and he shed his blood for me. That blood, the life force, amen? That's the life force. What would you do without your blood? Nothing. Seriously, you do nothing. The life force, he gave up his very essence for me. His very essence. We ought to regard the Lord's blood. We ought to be unashamed of resting on Christ's resurrection. We ought to be unashamed of resting on Christ's resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You guys are doing good. I know we're looking at some Bible, but it's good to look at God's Word. Amen? It's good to look at God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen, we ought not be unashamed. Or we ought not be ashamed. I'll get it right. We ought not be ashamed in trusting in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know, it's weird. You mean to tell me your God rose again? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He rose again on the third day. He didn't stay dead. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He rose again on the third day. You guessed it, for me. And we ought not be ashamed of that. And listen, if you have a hard time believing that, the Bible says there are those there, Paul was talking to those that I got a hard time of believing that somebody rose from the dead. Well, if you got a hard time believing that, then guess what? He didn't die for you. If he didn't rise for you, he didn't die for you. You better rest on the resurrection. You better believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Amen. Amen. This is the power of the gospel. We're going to get to that. I'm getting excited. This is the power of the gospel. This is what God gives us so that we can live a life free of sin. We ought to be unashamed of resting on Christ's resurrection. We ought to be unashamed of relishing in heaven's promise. Go with me to John chapter 4. Or John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We ought to be unashamed of relishing in heaven's promises. Let not your heart be troubled. ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Listen, if you don't get excited about heaven, there's definitely something wrong about it. There's something wrong with you. If it doesn't excite you that we get to go up and live in a place where there is absolutely none, and I mean zero, not just zero tolerance, zero presence, there is no sin in heaven. Think about that. Think about that. If heaven has got nothing but shacks, if it's a shack without sin, it's better than what I got now. But it ain't a shack. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There's a promise. There's a promise. Not just of no presence of sin, but the absolute presence of the Son. I mean, come on now. The one who loved you just like you are. The one who died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood for your sins, rose again on the third day. The one who is sitting next to the Father right now saying, I know they did that, God, but I paid for that already. I know what the devil's saying, Lord, but they're mine. The one who is mediating for you right now. And you get to be with him forever. Forever. Or as Sandlot says, forever. Do you know how long forever is? Me neither. There is no time. And I get to be with Jesus for all time. This is one of my favorite things to just kind of sit and think about. The Bible says that when we are given immortality, when we are given incorruption, that we'll know as we're known. It overwhelms me right now when I think about how much God loves me. Because I know who I am. And it's overwhelming to think how much he loves me. And I don't have a clue how much he loves me. But one day I'm going to. When I know as I'm known, and I'm going to really, really understand how much God loves me. Whew. I almost yelled, didn't want to scare you. Oh my goodness. I'm going to know, Miss Linda, how much he loves me. I'm not gonna have just a little bit of an idea. Right now, I look through a window darkly. But then I'm going to see clearly just how much God loves me. You ought to be unashamed. Unashamed in heaven's promises. Amen. Isn't God good to us? Isn't God good to us? We don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to walk on streets of gold. I don't deserve a mansion. I don't deserve to be in God's presence. It's quite the opposite. I deserve to be cast from his presence. But you know what he did instead? He cast my sins from his presence so he could take me. What a good God I've got. You ought to be unashamed. You ought to be unashamed. Unashamed of relishing in heaven's promises. And the last thing to be proud of if you're saved, you ought to be unashamed of relaying Christ's message. Our text here, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. To you that are at Rome, also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. It is the power of God. You know why we struggle with sin? We're ashamed of the gospel. Child of God, do you know why you struggle with sin? You're ashamed of the gospel. Do you know why you have a hard time feeling saved all the time? Or why you have a hard time being close to God? You're ashamed of the gospel. And one of these points, or some of these points, or all these points, there's some place that you're ashamed. Because see, my Bible tells me that it's the gospel that gives me the power to overcome sin. It's the power of the gospel. He says to the Jew first. Now, to the saved first. Listen, child of God. Listen, okay, God died for you. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood, rose again the third day. You believe all that? Then live like it. Relay the message. Tell others. Paul says, so that with all that is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way when given the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ? Do you get so stinking overwhelmed with it? You're like, ooh, I can't wait. Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Do you get so overwhelmed with it? You know what? I don't. I get convicted by this. I don't have that type of conviction to where I go up to people. And listen, we ought to. We ought to just go up to people and say, do you know Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? But we don't do it. Why? Because we're ashamed of what he's done for us. Why? Why? We ought not to be ashamed of relaying the message. I so want to be sinless. I do. Every time I've let sin into my life, it's messed something up. And I say every time, I will not be argued with that, every time I've let sin into my life, it's messed something up. It's made some point of my life worse. Every time. And the thing is, I don't have to let sin in my life. I'm not saying that we can be sinless. Hey, we are in this flesh, and we are going to struggle with things. But it's the power. It's the power of the gospel. Listen, die to self, child of God. Die to self like Jesus Christ did. You ought to love him so much that you'll die, that you will lay down your life for him. My Bible tells me it's our reasonable service. The least that you owe him is your life. And if so, then we ought to let it stay dead until what time that God resurrects it through Christ to do what? To go and glorify him. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the power that keeps us from sin. That's the power of the gospel, living the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ in us. That's how we have the power over sin. And you know what? I have found this to be true. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts should be established. You do some stuff for the Lord. You commit yourself to God. I mean, just get all in, man. I'm talking, listen, when I was a kid, I used to love, we went to Camp Chautauqua. Y'all remember Camp Chautauqua? Yeah? No, am I the only one that remembers Camp Chautauqua? Come on, honey. You don't remember Camp Chautauqua? Right? That's where she met me. Camp Chautauqua, man, they had this big old pool. Man, I used to love, I wouldn't just get into the pool. I wouldn't just get into the pool when I got up there. I wouldn't, because see, they had these two diving boards. They had like a 2 or 4 foot, and then they had like a really tall one, like a 10 foot and everything. Man, I didn't want to just get, because some kids, man, they just get in and throw their towel off to the side and go flying. We see that at Camp Victory all the time. Clothes and socks just get flung, not even in the same place. I mean, just, when they're in the pool, they're all in, okay, they're all excited. Man, not me. I'd put my stuff aside, and I'd get up and all that. I get all the way up. Because listen, you jump in on that shallow end and you might land on your feet and it's only 4 foot deep and I'm not all in. I'm not. There's only a part of me in. Yeah. What are you laughing at? I was little then. Hush. This is just a little bit of me in. But when I go over to that 10-foot diving board, Brother Mark, and there was 10 foot of water underneath there, I had no choice but to go all in. And I would, when I get up on that diving board, and now, I know you guys don't believe me on this, but I could do a perfect jackknife somersault with very little splash. I was quite good, and I was quite skinny. It's much easier to not make a splash when you're very skinny. And so I'd jump up, I'd get up there, I'd climb up there, and I'd do my fancy little dive, and I'd get in, but I was all in. I was all in. And see, that's the way we got to be with Jesus. You really want to be free from the presence of sin? You got to get all in, man. You got to get all in. You just got to take it. You got to be unashamed in the fact that Jesus Christ loves an old sinner like you, died for an old sinner like you, and just go ahead and trust him when he says you need to crucify yourself. You need to die to yourself and let me live through you, and we're going to have us a good time, and you will. It is so much better. Listen, you know I don't have one regret for serving the Lord. Not one. I've got so many regrets for serving Larry. I don't have any regrets for serving the Lord. We ought to just be unashamed of the gospel, ready to live it and let it be the power in our lives. At the beginning, we talked about this sentence, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We changed the words to the saved first, and I've spoke to the saved. Now I want to speak to the lost. You might be saying, well, Pastor, everybody here is saved. Everybody's been here forever, and you know you don't know that. You don't know that. Because, see, the gospel is something to be a part of if you're lost. It would be a shame if you don't recognize today that you're a sinner. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so you can't escape all. Everybody's all. It would be a shame if you don't realize that Christ loves you. What a shame it would be if you don't realize that the God of all creation loves you more than you can ever even begin to imagine. It would be a shame if you don't rely on Christ's death. It may be hard for some to believe that Jesus Christ did come, live a perfect life, and laid that sinless life down on the cross for a bunch of old wicked sinners. It'd be a shame if you don't rely on Christ's death. It'd be a shame if you don't regard Christ's blood, that it'll cleanse you from all your sin. Not some. Woo! That excites me right there. Guess what? It's not just some of my sin, Miss Sue. It's not just some of it that the blood cleansed. It's all of it. When God says, when I see you, I see my son. When I look at you, your sins have been cast as far as the east is from the east is from the west. I'm sorry, OCD. That's north, that's south. Sorry. That's exciting. My sins. We're supposed to forgive but not forget. Yeah, show me Bible for that. Show me Bible for that. Because God forgets. You know how far the east is from the west, Miss Brenda? Long ways. Never the twain shall meet. God forgets my sin. Why? Because he doesn't see me. He only sees his son. It'd be a shame. It'd be a shame if you don't rely on the Christ, the death of Christ. It'd be a shame if you don't regard Christ's blood. It'd be a shame if you don't rest in Christ's resurrection. You know, Pastor, it's just hard for me to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I mean, people don't just do that. Yeah, but he ain't people. He's God. He's God. And it'd be a shame if you don't rest in his resurrection. It'd be a shame if you do resist heaven's promises today. It'd be a shame. It'd be a shame for you to die today because you relish in your sin. It would. Because whatever it is you think you've got, whatever it is the devil has lied to you and got you sold on, you're going to wander around in that and relish in that instead of the things that we've just talked about, instead of wanting the power of God on your life. I ask you again, to the saved and to the lost, do you want the power of God? Every head bowed, every eye closed, please stand with me.